Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is Aisha from Gals on Road. Just a heads up and a disclaimer before you come for our head tops. As you already know, we are in a pandemic. It's a pandemic! So, bear with us if you hear any bumps, possibly children screaming, and maybe even a lawnmower or two. We got things to do, so bear with us. We don't have soundproof rooms, but we're making do with what we can. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, this is Girls on the Road, an all-Black female collective that exists to be heard. We're here to proudly represent our different experiences of Black womanhood. We're a group of like-minded creatives, and each episode, you'll hear from three of us. Speaking up today is Hi. Jada and Hi. Alia. And this episode's share is our favourite colour.
My favourite colour is pink, because that is one colour that I just expresses my personality and my style, and it's just something about the colour I just relate with. Like, when I see it, I just say me. I've always got to incorporate pink in everything that I do.
I don't have a favourite colour, because I like a few colours, but everything's very much dependent on my mood. So my top three favourites are black, pink, and lilac. Purple, yeah, no, it's more like a lilac purple, yeah. But I can't pick, because I know that I really love orange as well. See, yeah, I can't pick at all. I feel like I can dress very different, like either be very girly and very feminine, or just be like sportswear. Don't really care about my makeup. I'm not like a nails person, but it's by force I'm doing it now. Like, yeah, it all just depends on my mood. So,
if I had to pick one, I would go for orange. Like, I love orange. I feel like it's the one colour that's acceptable, that's vibrant, that I would always, like, sling on. Whereas, like, I wouldn't necessarily put a yellow boot on. If that makes sense. Like, but, like, with orange, I don't know. There's something about it. But, like, a burnt orange kind of look as well. It's a good, like, safe in-between, I think, than, like, your bright. Because I get what you mean, like, moods and fashion. It goes with it, and like, I love to color coordinate, so obviously if it doesn't work, then it ain't gonna be my favorite color.
Yeah.
So let's get into it, the check-in, the bit where we talk about our feelings, but for real, how is everyone feeling this week? So I feel like it's a good time to really share and start the episode with some just real emotions, as we always do.
I'm good. I feel quite nonchalant. Like, I'm not bad, I'm not good. I'm not great. I'm just okay. Like, I'm just very content being nonchalant. I think I've been definitely a lot lower during this lockdown, and I'm aware that I'm not in that space anymore, but I'm not like, wee, top of the world. Like, it's just, this whole thing is just very boring. So I'm not actually forcing myself to be the complete opposite of down and low. I'm just allowing myself to be in the middle, which is okay. And given the climate and the conditions of things right now, being okay is like the new fantastic, because a lot of people aren't. So I'm really embracing being nonchalant.
I love that line. Someone needs to get that on a t-shirt, man. Being okay is new fantastic. That is actually so accurate. And also, I think even without the pandemic, that should still be a motto, like 100%. Like, life is mad. The things that it serves, Jada.
I would describe this week has, like, I feel like a scatterbrain. You know, like, when you've been trying to, like, work for something, but you've got an idea in your head and you're slowly working towards it, blah, 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 and the opportunity is being presented to you there, and it's whether you just go for it or you keep procrastinating. That's what I feel right now. And it's like, I feel like a scatterbrain, because that's what's happening with kind of, like, all my avenues, slowly going through, like, ticking through my to-do list, because I have so much. I've got like three or four different avenues. I don't, like, it's like my brain's just like, okay, I need to work on this. So when I'm working on that, my brain's thinking of the other thing, and then the other thing. It's just like, it's just the most. But other than that, you know, everything's all right.
I feel that. Let's go on to Queen of the Week, where we give flowers to the women bosses that deserve it. Who is wearing the crown today? Jada, tell them. Give it to them.
Okay, I'm gonna keep it really local, and I'm going to nominate my mother.
Oh, I love that.
We love that.
I'm going to nominate my mum, because I was thinking about this over the past few days when I was reading through. And I thought, you know what? She started a new job last week and she's been having a really hard time adapting to it. And I think, you know, she actually was being, you know, she was having a little, like, crying a little bit. And I was just looking at her thinking, mum, but she's still, like, to me, I'm the different. I'm like, if I don't like something, I'm going to apply for something else and leave and da-da-da. Whereas my mum's not like that. She's very, like, she perseveres. And she's trying to set up her fruit business on the side. So it's like, I'm just like, I see her as a queen of the week, because you've got up every day, you're still determined to get the job done, and you're not going to quit, which is something that, you know, I've got that trait. So she's just like, yeah, she's definitely my queen of the week, because it's very inspiring to see. And especially since, like, you know, lockdown, as she's just had a new job, and it's just like, just seeing her start, it's like, oh, it feels weird, like, oh, mum's back at work, she's definitely my queen of the week.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, mummy,
you have to keep it local, honestly. I love when you said local, you said mummy. I love it, I love it. It's just too good, it's too good. And best believe, it's funny how we kind of get our traits, but we also differ from our, like, parents or carers in senses, and you see the difference. And
yeah
it's definitely something to celebrate. Big up
Charlene.
Big up, mummy. Big up, I love it.
Let's go into Gas Girl Gaslight. Yes, girl, yes. All about boosting each other up and acknowledging our achievements, no matter how big or small. Charlene has a great achievement. What has yours been for the kind of past couple of weeks, Jada?
I would say, once again, going back onto, like, my different avenues, taking baby steps to complete them. I uploaded my first TikTok this week, which is actually a very good achievement, because the anxiety levels were like through the roof before I uploaded it, but I finally done it. And I recorded my first hair YouTube video this time last week, because it's like, finally done it. Like, finally done my first video.
I like the fact that we're hearing your process, because last time we recorded, obviously, Gas Girl Gas, you were like, okay, my achievement is that I'm, like, working towards it. Then this episode, it's like, boom, I'm doing it, I've done it. Love to hear the climb. Please say you've gone outside more.
I think just working out more, and, like, really, I forced myself to go for a run, which I can't stand doing. I think part of me, like, being resistant to this lockdown and just annoyed, I was like, I'm not even working out, there's no point, I'm irritated. And yeah, it really hasn't done any help. It didn't help my mental health at all. I feel like I was really miserable. So just forcing myself to get out there, I feel better for it, and I already look better. Yes. It's weird. Maybe it's just me mentally, but I feel like I already can see a difference. I'm like, yeah, no, this is why I do work out. There's obviously, like, an aspect of it where I'm being vain, and I'm like, oh, I want to look like this. But there's also my mental health, which I definitely overlooked. I didn't think I was that person to be like, it's my mental health, but...
Yeah,
it's proven that it is.
Yeah, I feel that. Me too. I have to do it, otherwise I just end up in a ditch, like, so easy. And again, like, I'm like, surely it's not that deep. It's not that deep. It's just moving. Like, I'm okay. I don't need that. And then I'm like, okay. I've taken, like, 3 months break, and I'm feeling shit, like, every 2 weeks. And then I start exercising again, and it changes so much.
Yeah. Mad.
That is good, though. That is good. I mean, it's hard out here. Obviously, home workouts are difficult, so we have to applaud you for that. So I'm about to start, like, a 9-to-5 content creation course for, like, 6 weeks, Monday to Friday. Kind of shook, because I don't have that routine or pattern. As everyone knows, I haven't had a job since nearly, like, a year, and only be, like, a year in March. So yes, that would be it. 25 people got it, and I think it was, like, kind of competitive, because we had, like, a whole Zoom where everybody came, and then it was, like, a bit of, like, an assessment day that they didn't want to call it that. So I could have definitely not got it, basically. Okay. So I'm proud of that.
That's so good.
Yeah, but I'm scared.
Yeah.
Thank you. 9-to-5 is going to be a massive shock to the system, but I'm gassed by 100%.
Well done.
Thank you. We're going into the group chat, where the tea is always hot and the talk stays steaming. This is a moment where we can talk about real things in a real way, providing our different perspectives to the conversations happening on and offline. This particular topic has come up recently quite a lot in my little walks and talks with my local friends, and it is the categorisation of Black-owned, made stories and produced work, like streaming sites, music playlists and platforming, especially in the business world today. I even had like a little focus group recently where we talked about it. What are your thoughts on having like these categories? And do you think it influences us like negatively as well as positive?
Do you know what? Personally, for me, I like it because it just, like when I go on Netflix and stuff, I just want to watch black movies and black things. So it kind of does help with the whole fact of like, I can just go straight to that category. I can go straight to that category and just watch strictly black films. But then at the same time, I do sometimes think like, we kind of should just be mixed in.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. We shouldn't have to have a category. Sometimes I don't really agree with it because I feel like we should just automatically all be mixed in. But then it makes it easier for people like me to just go on and watch.
It is very hard for our visibility in anything like that you like look for and stuff and search for. It's quite hard visibility wise to like find other black movies or and when I say hard, I mean like it's not there. When you search movies, the top cut like 10 that come up probably don't have black people at the main. Like, I'm not saying it's hard to find black people in movies. I'm just saying if you were doing a general Google search, like the top 10 like general movies or TV shows, etc., that would come up might not, and they're more likely not to have a, like have a black actor at the main front of it, which means, you know, visibility for us isn't as well as it could be.
I think the issue is, I think this is like Jada's point into, is the fact that when it's categorized, say the film, when a film is categorized as a black film, they're probably not gonna get much recognition. They might struggle to get the kind of budget in that non-black films will get. They might struggle to get credited for their hard work because it's considered a black film. By the terminology, a black film, it makes it seem as if it isn't as good enough as other films that aren't categorized in that way. However, I think recently the beauty in it is, look at Nollywood, look at Bollywood. They're distinctly named Bollywood and Nollywood because they serve their communities. So as a black person, the whole reason why we have created black movies and black stories are because larger productions, which are usually led by white people, are not willing to tell these stories. Or when they do, it's more so to tick a box and go, here you are, you're represented. But it's not done authentically. It's not done with love. It's not done with care. So we then feel it's necessary just to do it ourselves. So at least then, as a black woman, I can know that, you know, I'd hope that by searching for a black film, I would have an all-black cast. I would hope that they have black costume makers, black casting, black, just that general sense of care for the larger black community. I'd assume that I would get that, whereas I would also assume I wouldn't get that from a film that wasn't black. So it works in two parts. In one aspect, it's great. It's kind of just quickly identifying the kind of films you want to see, the stories you want to see, the people you want to see and are able to relate to. But then there's also a part of it that's like, it really shouldn't boil down to race. But until these companies that are white-led diversify their teams, diversify their representation, things aren't going to change and we're not actually going to be happy. So it's one of them. But I think the downside is where black is thrown against everything. So an artist like, say, Brie Runway, I use as a perfect example. She's like, I'm a pop star. But very quickly, a lot of people would see that she's a black female artist and assume she's R&B. And she's like, no, I'm a pop star because I do popular music. So the beauty in her not taking on black music is that she's not allowing people to stereotype her and pigeonhole her, which is what can happen to the detriment of, like, black people's careers. In many ways, it can be positive, but then in other aspects, it can be really negative.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just difficult because one of the main reasons why I was thinking about it is because I had this thing when we were even making Girls on Road. I was like, do I put black creatives? Because do I even want to put that out there? Because obviously you can see when you come to our page that we're black creatives, but do we need it in a black and white sense?
Do you know what? Yeah, I feel like it's not all things have to always be stated, but I get why we do it. And I'm not mad if someone does, because unfortunately you would have a black business and you may have like a white business or Asian business, whatever, and I just feel like a lot of black businesses get overlooked, especially small businesses, they get overlooked a lot, and it's like, I feel like because we're on this, we're trying to strengthen our community and we want to support each other as much as possible because the rest of the world certainly ain't, it's like, if you state you're black owned, I'm gonna go to you because I'm gonna want to support my black sister. Yeah. Simple, and it's nothing personal to anybody else, but I just think that it's about time where it's about time we start supporting ourselves. And unfortunately, we have to be putting black owned so that people know it is, because there are businesses out there that you would never know is black owned.
Yeah,
and I just feel like, yeah, like it's nice, like even when you see those directories and it's loads of black owned businesses that do that, yeah. I'm like, why not support ourselves? Because like I said, the rest of the world won't, so it's for us to support ourselves first. Do you think we should actually encourage each other? Like, I don't agree. See that as a bad thing.
Yeah, agreed. I think if we live in a world that was absolutely fair, I don't think it would cross our minds to be like, we're a black owned business. But we just can't ignore the history of oppression, and outside of like slavery, the way it's manifested today, like oppression and the racism is very much it's in our society, it's west in ways that we don't even see. So the fact that we have struggled to maintain a significant status in terms of like economical advantages, or we've struggled to have enough black businesses just do well or get loans, just that isn't coincidence. It isn't a coincidence that we had that struggle there. There might be other contributing factors, but ultimately we have been pushed back. We have, and we are now taking it upon ourselves to encourage each other, not just those in our smaller communities, our larger communities, to be like, do you know what? They, i.e. people who aren't black, aren't going to put us at the forefront. So we need to put ourselves at the forefront. We need to ride for ourselves. We need to ride for each other and really encourage each other to spend our money within our own community, because we do have a great spending power. I think, wasn't it recently they found it was 1 million was women's spending power. So it's not so much a case of, oh, we don't buy things. Of course we buy things. We love luxury as a community. We always have. We've always wanted and aspired to get things that we saw other communities having and enjoying. We just felt that we were made to feel as if we weren't worthy of having it. So now that we can clearly see we have the money to spend, it's like, well, why not put it in the communities that look like you? Why not put it in the communities that actually are prepared to put you first? Because clearly waiting on other industries or other communities to put us first isn't happening. It hasn't happened. It's a tick box process. And yeah, there's just too much to ignore in terms of the things that we go through as black people to be like, oh, we don't need to really enforce this black. No, we do. Let everybody know what's black owned, because also there have been occasions where things have been black owned and then they've been bought out by people who weren't of the community, i.e. the black community, and then say the quality changes, or, you know, it's a customer services change. Those small things aren't just a coincidence. Like, unfortunately, there have been many instances where other communities haven't necessarily respected us, haven't respected our money, haven't respected our time. So if we can create that for ourselves, then absolutely. And if a little small no, a little wink, wink, we're going to look after you is putting black-owned business, please let me know, because I'll be more inclined to spend.
I completely agree. And maybe it's kind of naive to think that no one is saying that we shouldn't mention it, by the way. That's not what the conversation is at all. It's just more that, you know, are we working towards a place, no matter how like far away, should I say, towards a place in the world where we don't have to kind of have a black section? Or do you think that like on Netflix there should always be a section with black 100%. Movies and like it's like,
I've never heard pushback for people having Bollywood sections or do you know what I mean, like shops dedicated to say Polish food or Jewish bakeries, do you know what I mean, like those. I've never heard any pushback regarding that. So if I'm honest, like, I think black people should actually absolutely do it. Yeah, no.
In terms of like practices that we're kind of seeing more so, and obviously this isn't a new thing, but it is interesting that it almost feels like a new thing every single time it gets pushed in the media, which again is wrong. But speaking on a particular practice, which is Black Crown Day, which is obviously every Saturday of the month, what are your thoughts on the fact that it's just once a month?
Do you know what thing about Black Pound Day? I think it's such a good concept. I don't think it should ever change. I don't think it should move. The only thing that I have with it is that I feel like we need more, you know, like I was having this conversation the other day, and you know, like necessity black businesses, a corner shop, a supermarket, something that, because like with Black Pound Day, a lot of it is, you know, like just a lot of it is like businesses like just selling, you know, loads of a range of different things. But I need stuff that I know that I actually use every day. or majority times at the week, and I know it's black owned, like not a clothing line, not like, right. not things where I don't like stuff I don't need, if that makes sense. I need something that, like, if I'm going to the local shop or a corner shop, I know it's black owned, or I'm trying to think like if I'm using a cab service, I know it's black owned, or you know, if I'm buying this loaf of bread in Tesco's, I know it's a black owned loaf of bread. Like things like that, I feel like we need to start creating more within our communities, and I feel like we need to start thinking outside the box. And I feel like those kind of businesses is what will really push us that little bit more forward, in the sense of just having something that's more like universal and something that we all can go to, something that we can't really not live without, but we can't really go weekly without, which is like a super, like, look at that. During COVID, supermarkets were thriving. But imagine if that was a black-owned supermarket, that would have been even better. And I'm sure, like, obviously it's easier said than done, but I'm sure there should be, like, some, you know, people, like, come together, put a little crowd fund together, and just create.
I think you're right. It would be great. I think it's one of them where it's easier said than done. So black people are just starting to gain more financial knowledge. And let's be clear, as a whole, we're not a community that has generational wealth. We don't. So other communities have generational wealth, generally speaking. Where I see the black community coming into a head is like there's a lack of funding there. I really can't see people just throwing their money together and then giving it to a random person to open a store. Like, there's got to be some trust there. So if there is a trust from this greater community that someone's going to open a store and do right with the business, actually open the store, it's a bit like, not that it's not going to happen, it's just going to take a little longer. I think in Brixton there was, from my knowledge, there was black owned businesses, but I think I know in Brixton they were like closing down some of them. They've like made plans to like get rid of a particular market which has been renowned for like black owned markets that sell black produce. So I think businesses that have started, unfortunately, they've always come up against something. There's also the overhead costs. I remember there was like a Caribbean takeaway store, which isn't like out of the ordinary, but I know one that was local to me, she had to shut down because like the overhead cost is killing me and I don't get businesses regular. This could have just been dependent on where she was. She's like, I don't get businesses regular. I wasn't doing as well. So I think until any individual has enough money to go all in, be able to cover overhead costs for a good amount of time, I think that's where we might struggle. It's a good concept. From my understanding, there's a lot of things in regards to costs that make it a lot harder, like an average supermarket. Yeah. They also have to deal with theft. Theft is where you'll lose the most money in any retail. Having online stores is probably the easiest thing you can do because it's just you. There's no electric bill, there's no lighting, there's no staff, there's no security, there's no plumbing. Do you know what I mean? Like, you are absolutely good to go from the jump.
I definitely agree with what you were saying about the generational wealth thing, because even when we look at Asians, for example, in their communities, they literally, like, it's all about keeping it within their community, opening up their businesses, help each other to build and buy a house or buy a business. So I get that 100%. I just feel like, but it's not impossible in the sense of like, there is something that we can't, like, we should work, it should just be something we work on. I actually want to go to a business like and use black businesses that I know that I'm going to use regularly.
So I completely agree with you. I would love to see it. I think when I look at it, I think the black community is fragmented. We are kind of, I think we're like very much all for ourselves at the moment. We're only just starting to reconnect out with people outside of just our family. And I think that has been to the detriment of stuff like that, having shops and building businesses, because as you said, there are Asian communities that just on the basis of being Asian, we'll put their money together, or on the basis of you being my cousin, let's put our money together and buy this house, let's put our money together and get this shop, or you've got a shop, let's together. That's wonderful. I don't think the black community has got to a place where we work as well together as what we work alone, and that's an issue. How it's fixed, I'm on Clubhouse all the time and it's just really opened my eyes. Like, there's a very big disconnect between black men and black women, and a disconnect between black men and other black men. So I don't know, I'm just reaching a point where everyone's like, kumbaya, this black guy wants to build a business, or this black woman wants to build a business, let's all give them their money. I just think there's a lack of trust there, or just people are almost uneasy about the idea. It's really sad and it's really weird. I don't know how or when it'll move forward, which is why I think people are just kind of doing their own thing and then collectively being like Black owned, Black Power Day. Woo! Yeah, it's hard.
I think it's difficult as well because having a place to go for necessities like right now is, that would be banging. But then this is like sort of like you want people to be able to sell everything and anything and people still want to go to them, if that makes sense. It's difficult because it's like you want to get necessities, especially now because pandemic. I cannot be risking like buying something that's like, I'm not even risking it, but I can't buy anything that's like fun. Like I have to buy necessity stuff. So like I'm so with you there, Jada. Like I have to buy like the products I know and like hair products that I know will go in my hair every day, and I can't really be like buying a top, for example, because I've got loads of tops. So I'm so with you then. Again, that comes into pandemic lifestyle. Market is so saturated and it's so difficult to like break into that as well.
There are hair shops, there are hair care brands, there are skincare brands. I think the shops that you're thinking of, like a physical shop, I need a bit of bread, get this. Unless I'm absolutely wrong, which I could be, I genuinely think there are some, I've seen like some in London that have popped up on like Instagram with a page to match. What might have stopped there being a lot more are overhead costs, because you've got to pay that rent every single month, regardless of who walks through your door.
Yeah.
So if you have a dry month,
you've
got to know that you can get through it. You've got to know you can pay your staff. You've 100%. Got to know that you can account for theft. God forbid. And, do you know what I mean? There are a lot of overhead costs in regards to opening a store. So I honestly think that's probably the biggest deterrent for people in regards to opening them. But 100%. There are definitely other things that we use regularly, which are hair products, which are skincare products. There are a lot of Black-owned businesses in that department. And jewellery, in fact, like, say you want to buy someone a gift. Like, there are lots of that I see online.
Yeah, without a doubt. Anything to do with, like, that kind of stuff, 100%. There's no excuse as to why you should be spending. I swear, I'm sorry. There's enough Black businesses where you can buy gifts and get things for people. Yeah. Loads. That's not a problem. We're thriving in that. My thing is, we need to start having hair shops. How is it that we spend the most money in these hair shops or in that kind of industry, and we're not even owning much? And hair shops is the biggest thing, because there are loads, there's thousands of independent Black people selling their own hair products. That's not the problem. But it's the shops and the putting them all together. It's like, how are we not? And that's not our fault, once again, because I know another problem is, which is really disgusting, is I know that a lot of other races also stop Black people from starting and thriving. So it's not a thing where Black people haven't sat there and thought, oh, let's start a hair shop. So there's setbacks all the way from even buying resources. Yeah. So I can't entirely, because you know what I'm saying now? I'm just quickly saying it because I was having this debate and I've heard, you know, when you hear the thing of, oh, like when non-Black people, they like to say, oh, you know, our parents came to this country and, you know, we made it work. Basically turn around and say, you know, Black people are always, you know, wallowing in self-pity, or, you know, why don't they stop with the excuses? And I think it's so internal. You like, there is no excuse. We're not sitting here making excuses. It's so internal. Like I said, you would try and start a business and have the idea, but there's people that are down the line who are stopping you from before you've even, you know, made it public. So it's a thing of like how like it's very difficult for us as it is.
I wrote a blog post for a friend last year basically discussing the same thing, and I said I remembered 20 years ago in Birmingham there was a hair store called Juliet's. It was run by a Black woman called Juliet. She was the only large Black hair shop that I was aware of at the time, and many of us that lived in Birmingham, we all shopped there for our stuff. A couple years later, a little store popped up called Beauty Queen. We were like, oh, okay, fine. It was like a tiny little thing. We didn't think much of it. And then I remember me and my mum shopping in Juliet's one afternoon, and there was a little couple walking around the shop. And my mum spotted that they were walking around and picking up products and writing down the prices. And she's like, what are they doing? And then she's like, oh my God, like, they're writing down the prices of all the things in the shop. And she told the woman at the front of Juliet's, the hair shop, and she was a young girl, she didn't say anything to them, and they carried on. And then before I knew it, Juliet's just didn't have as much stock as before. and we needed stuff. So then we, like, there was just an occasion where we were like, oh, we'll have to go to the Beauty Queens and, like, we need this thing. They haven't, Juliet hasn't got it. We've gone there. And they had absolutely everything. And everything they had was cheaper than Juliet's. So we started going there, and a lot of people started going there. And then before I knew it, Juliet's was bought out by somebody who was black. Oh. And then Juliet's shut down because she couldn't afford... Well, as I said, she was bought out because she couldn't afford the business anymore. I don't know what the conditions of that were. She was bought out, the prices shot up, black people weren't happy, and then it shut down. I'm not saying this happened in every single instance. This is just one that I know of. But something like that could potentially have stopped a woman being able to make multiple businesses out of one successful business. She was undercut. She was intentionally undercut. And whilst I look at that and think, oh God, like, I feel bad that the likes of me and my mum or all these other people would have left shopping with her to shop with somebody else, you're looking at a group of people who are earning significantly less than other people. You're looking at a community that has a higher proportion of single mothers. So can we really afford, back then, could we have afforded to have spent, say, £3-4 per shop more? It's probably more, like, when you think about how much you buy, like, say £5 to £10 more with Juliet's versus paying less. At the time, we couldn't afford it, so we just went with what was cheap, and that's how they got us in. Now, we're in a better position. I'll speak for myself only, but I do also think, as a community, there are some of us that are in a slightly better position in what we're earning. Black women in particular, we are earning more. If you can afford to get, say, our nails, and if we can afford to have these small bits of luxury, if buying from a Black-owned store means paying a little bit more than buying from another store, I encourage you to do it. And that's what I do now. Well, me and my mum do now. And there's a lady store, African lady, and we buy from her all the time. A few of her things are more expensive than this other gentleman we used to shop with. But this lady is African. She's Black. And I'd rather spend my money with her. That's a luxury that I have. It might have just been one Juliet in Birmingham, but there's nothing to say that it couldn't have been another instance like that in Manchester, in London. And it puts people off. It does, unfortunately. It puts people off. And like I said, if you're in a position where you can't afford to spend that extra pound here, there, you're going to go where it's cheap. That's what has happened. Yeah. And as you mentioned, if you're buying wholesale, where you know a couple people there, or they're willing to give you a discount because three or four others of you are buying together. One Juliet buying it by herself, she's not privy to get those discounts. She's not privy to have those friends to get that deal. So your product is gonna cost more. And, you know what I mean? You've got to bump your price up to make a profit. It's shit, to put it simply. It's really, really shit.
And you have to bump your prices up because they're overcharging you as well. That's another problem in wholesale. They'll overcharge you because you are Black, which makes it worse. So you're forced to charge more deals.
I think you've also got to be savvy as well. Like, sometimes just ask for it cheaper. Just ask for it cheaper. I think the one thing I'm an advocate of, I want nerve of men. I want the nerve of men. Because men will apply for jobs that they ain't got the qualifications for, but they don't give a damn every single time. I want that nerve. In fact, I went to a white school, and I knew of white boys that just had the nerve just to go for, like, stuff because they were like, oh, why not? That was it. Actually, oh, why not? I'll just blag it. And I was like, what? White men, they're like, yeah, I'll just blag it. Oh, no. I was like, okay. If that's what it takes, I want to think like that. I'm going to blag it. I'm sorry. And as a woman, I really don't believe that men are smarter than us. I just think that they go in, like, with all the chat, all the confidence, and they come out with the results. I'm literally adopting that now. If I haven't quite qualified for that job, I haven't quite got that experience, I'm going to go in with all guns blazing, like, this is why you need me on your team, this is what I've got, this is my credential. All the nerve. It may not work out for me in every instance, but damn, at least I tried. And it could take four occasions, but I'd strike gold on the fifth.
Yeah.
Sitting back and being a little,
just blab it. Especially if any opportunity that you as well, you'll be surprised by just doing that extra bit of blabbing.
I've watched it. Like, I physically had, like, work colleagues who were a male, underqualified, just chat nonsense, and they've blagged it, and I've watched them make a wholesale pitch to someone, and they were lapping it up, and I was thinking, he's chatting out his arse, he's lying. I'm in the office with him 5 days a week. I know what he's doing at uni. I know what he does day to day, and what he's just told you he can do. I know he physically can't do. He's basically making out he's a manager when he's not. Like, me and him are on the same level, but just with the audacity alone to go in there with all that chat, he's lapped it up and done well. And I just thought, fucking hell. Honestly, I think as women, sometimes we get caught in this idea of, oh, we've got to be demure and, you know, play it safe. You don't want to seem too brash or la la. And particularly as black women, you don't, black own, let's give them the flowers and dessert.
Let's do that then. Let's go on to Treat Smart, finishing the show, which illuminates black excellence.
On Instagram, he is called Jay Angelo. That's JAYYANGELO. And he's an artist. So he has like a piece with Kobe Bryant. He has a piece with Denzel Washington. There's this really lovely one of Marcus Rashford and like a black woman with the afro and like, she's topless and she's got a little bikini on, and it's really, really cute, really beautiful artwork. And he also has like a clothing company where his art that he paints is printed on t-shirts too. Yeah, he's got really, really cool stuff, so everybody should check him out. That's Jay Angelo, JAYYANGELO.
As a collective, we are more than a podcast. We also have a music show and mixed by our very own DJs, providing the satellite track to your weekend. And once the world resets and all is safe and well, we will be hosting events. So you can bop to our mixes,
learn from the conversation,
join the party.
You can also follow us on Insta and Twitter. It's Girls on Roads, but like gals, so GYALS. You've listened to an episode of Girls on Road, where we shared our thoughts, we unpicked social constructs, and most importantly, elevated black excellence.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.